This is the True Glow Sports Show. I'm your host, Chris Glenn. We have a lot to cover for this episode. 2024 NBA playoffs start off today, Saturday. And it's building up previews-wise. It's building up to be one of the best playoffs of recent memory. Especially on the Western Conference side, it's going to get crazy. The East is very top-heavy, in my opinion. To me, there's really two main teams in the East between the Knicks and Celtics. The Celtics can easily run away with it. But we'll get into everything once we cover with these playing games. So first, we're going to talk about who won playing games. The Lakers beat the Pelicans. Now, this was for the first night of playing. Lakers beat the Pelicans, and Sixers beat the Heat. Then the Bulls beat the Hawks. Then the Kings beat the Warriors. Okay. And then for the last batch of playing games, the Kings lost to the Pelicans. Pelicans are in. They're going to play against the Thunder first round. And the Heat are in. They won against the Bulls tonight. So, not going to talk much about playing because, of course, you want to talk about when the real basketball comes, when everything comes together. So, first round match of the first round I'm going to cover is the Bucks versus Pacers series. Okay, so Giannis Antetokounmpo does look like he's going to play game one. Now, if I was the Bucks, I would rush him back. I wouldn't rush him back at all. I think the Bucks could at least hold their own against the Pacers. You would think so with Chris Middleton, Damian Lillard, Brook Lopez, and Bobby Portis. I'm not saying that's a star-studded lineup, but that lineup alone without Giannis, without a 30-point-per-game score, I feel like they could still hold their own against the Pacers. They could probably they're the highest seed. They could win at least one game at home, you would think. They could at least win one of the first two games at home. On the Pacers side of this ball, it's going to be very tough for them on defensive side. Offensive side, the Pacers are just fine. I think they got one of the best. Now, with the ball I've seen, when I've seen the Pacers play ball, it looks really fast. With Tyus Haliburton winning the show with them, with Miles Turner, and they're a very, very young team, 6 seed. I don't expect a lot out of them out this series. But, again, I think if Giannis Antetokounmpo could come back in this series, I think the Bucks got this win in about 5, I think, in my opinion. But we'll see. The Bucks have been struggling all year. They haven't been able to reach their full potential of what we thought that they were able to be. So, we'll see how this ends up going. But, in my opinion, I say Bucks and 6 in that series. The next one we're going to go into, the Cavs and Magic. Probably the most sleeper series out of the most, the one people really going to pay attention to. This one probably going to be on NBA TV. Not going to lie to you. This one probably going to be NBA TV. You got Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen. You got Isaac Okoro on the Cavs. The Magic got Paolo Banchero, Cole Anthony, and a bunch of other friends, Wagner, Mo Wagner, the Wagner brothers on that team. If it's me, let me see. Magic or younger team than the Cavs. I think that's saying a lot. The Cavs have a little bit more playoff experience, especially if you have a Donovan Mitchell on the team. I think the Cavs go really jump up on them early. They could really, of course, it's not a one-game series, but I think the Cavs going to be too much for the Magic to handle, in my opinion. And if it's me personally, I take the Cavs on 5. I think that down low, they're really going to dominate them with Mobley and Jared Allen. I think that center duo could really take over for them, in my opinion. So I got Cavs on 5 in that series. Next one. We're going to go into Knicks versus Sixers. Okay. Joel Embiid. If he stays healthy this 4 series, who in the world is checking him? Because Randall's not playing. Even if Randall was playing, that would have been barbecue chicken from the start. So who in the world is going to guard him? Mitch Robinson? It's easy. Come on now. But the Knicks, they're a more deeper team than the Sixers, in my opinion. More team-oriented. They don't run through one player. I think everyone, of course, Brunson's their main star. But I think everyone gets their own food. Get their licks in. Like OG Anunoby and Dante DiVincenzo, even Josh Hart. I think the Knicks still more well-rounded team than the Sixers. But I think if Maxey and Embiid catch fire, they can really, really, really make this an interesting series. Now, I don't really know who's going to win this one because the Knicks, they do have home court advantage, especially for the first 2 games. Obviously, we know that will be in MSG, Madison Square Garden. I think if the Sixers get end up still the one in New York, they could really make, they could push to the 6 and 7 and possibly win. So, but it all depends on the first two games. If the Knicks end up stealing, if the Knicks end up winning both games at home, I think they're winning in six probably. But if the Six end up stealing one on their home court, we could be talking more about this series for this could possibly be a long, hard fight out series. So, but the benches are really going to speak a lot because Six is not a strong bench, but the Knicks from top to bottom, they're not star studded, they're not deep. But they know the roles. That's the main thing about the Knicks. The star players know when to take over, like Brunson. And now, not saying DiVincenzo is a star player, but he knows when it's his time to shine. RJ Ananobi knows when it's his time to shine. Know when to take a step back. Know when to, okay, it's locked down. Let's go get a stop right now. Okay, we get some momentum getting our way. Okay, just start playing fast. Space, get him called timeout. The Knicks play good team ball, straight up. Knicks play very good team ball. That's one thing I like about them. And this is, orange and blue skies, man. It's a beautiful time to be a Knicks fan. That's not me personally. But if I was a Knicks fan, it'd be a beautiful time right now after all the years they've had with trying to build star-studded teams and couldn't get this guy, couldn't get KD to come to free agency, couldn't get Zion, couldn't get Dame. They couldn't even trade for him. They couldn't get Bond whenever he was out there in 10 to go in the decision whenever he's free agent. So it's a very nice time to be a Knicks fans right now, and they have a lot to look for this coming playoffs. I think they could really make a deep playoff run and possibly could play the star studded Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, but we don't know about that yet. So if I had to make a prediction for this specific series, I say Knicks in 7. Honestly, I think the Sixers could really push them to the brink of that. And with Embiid being healthy, and if Embiid could play not how he played in that first playing game against the Heat, because he was it looked like he was in a humongous slump. He was all out of whack. He didn't really play to how Embiid really plays. But again, he's just getting back into things. He just got out of a big injury that was sidelined him for over 20 games. So we'll see how he goes for that. Alright, so that's the Eastern Conference. Let's go over to the Western Conference. Now, this is where it gets very interesting for all these Western Conference matchups. Pelicans, Thunder. Not this one specifically. But the Pelicans could still win off the home floor. Or people saying, oh, Thunder sweep. Easy sweep for the Thunder, stuff like that. But I think the Pelicans, I'm not sure about Zion Williamson's health. I'm not sure if he's going to play the series. If he is to play, I think they could possibly win one, but I'm not 100% if he is. If I did know, I think the Pelicans could possibly push this to five or six games. But with just Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum disappears too much for me. But with the Thunder being such a young team, but such a good team at that, number one seed with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, J-Dub, J-Will, Chet Holmgren, and Isaiah Joe, and a bunch of other very good role players, Dort on the team. They're just very, very good, well-rounded young team. That's what I like about them. They're a very young team, so that could mean a lot for the future. This could be a very dominant team in the regular season, but we'll see how they do in the playoffs. It's going to be the first time in the playoffs with this very, very, very young core. If I had to pick for this series, it'd be Thunder in 5. I think the Pelicans could win one on their home court. Not in the Thunder, but in New Orleans. And, I think they really can. Next one, I'll have to say it's going to be the Nuggets and Lakers. Nuggets and Lakers series. All right, so let's talk about this one. First of all, the Lakers have not beat the Nuggets since December 2022. Think about that. They played them all of the Western Conference Finals last year. 4 games, got swept. They played them the season opener this year, got whooped. Played them a different time, got whooped. Playing whenever they revealed Kobe's statue and got whooped. That's 7 times alone right there I just named. And I'm playing this one more time. So the last 8, I forgot the exact date. The last 8 times they lost to the Nuggets though. And I think they'll get at least 1 game out of this series. Me personally, the Nuggets are still a really good team. No debate between that. Top 2 team in the West, you ask me. If not the best team in the West. With Garden Seed. AD's healthy. Jokic is not as dominant as he was. I know this is going to be sound disrespectful to you and Nuggets fans, stuff like that. But I don't think people really understand the generation of one Jokic was on last year. Jokic is still putting up great numbers this year. There's no doubt about that. But the generational legendary run he had during that playoffs and during that whole regular season is very hard to be replicated. Now, he's still playing really good. He's not playing to that level again. But he could easily, promise me, Jokic could easily turn it up to that level come game one and then going a whole crazy one to the finals again. But going from the sample that we have during the regular season, I think the Lakers could probably get one. They will still get whooped. They will. Like, I guarantee that they will get whooped this series. LeBron's going to get his. AD going to get his. Mary and Jokic are going to match that. Then you got the X factors like D-Lo and Michael Porter Jr. And who do you trust more? If it's me, I'll go Michael Porter Jr. over D-Lo anytime. People know about that. But people going to say, oh, and then what about trade deadline? D-Lo, he's been going crazy since trade deadline. I would never, ever in my life ever trust D'Angelo Russell to be my consistent third option in the playoff season. I'll trust Austin Reeves more than him. Simple as that. I trust the Nuggets more because they got more playoff experience. Oh, but the people gonna say, oh, the Lakers got LeBron James and Anthony Davis. LeBron James, the GOAT of playoff experience himself. Yeah, but there's five players on the court. And you're playing against the defending champs, who are still a really good team. So if it's me, I'll go Nuggets in five in that series. Okay. Let's go on to the next one. This one, now these next two series, I think they get evenly matched up, in my opinion. Very evenly matched up. Now, the next one we're going to talk about is the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Phoenix Suns. Now, on one end, you have one of the best offensive teams in the league with the Phoenix Suns going against the top three defensive team in the league in the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, do you know what that happens when you have something like that? Okay. So, in this case, for the Timberwolves, who's going to be scoring the points besides Anthony Edwards? In this case, for the Suns, who's going to be getting the stops? Who's going to be that spark off the bench that they need? And I'm not sure if the Suns really have that, man. They just don't have that. They have a starting five if they're healthy. Bradley Beal, Grayson Allen, Bradley Beal, Grayson Allen, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Yusuf Nurkic. Who they have come off the bench? Who? Like I said. They don't have no one coming. Oh, my bad. Josh Okogie. He's a good wing defender himself. Josh Okogie is a really good wing defender, but he has Andre Roberson type shooting. He's not that good of a shooter. So he's going to be a liability on offense. And he's not probably going to get a lot of minutes a game. He's going to get minutes a game because his defense is very up there. He should be. If he was at least a decent shooter, he'd probably be all defensive team. But his shooting is so bad, it's like, bro, like we can't put him on all defensive team. So I think that will be the main thing with the Suns, is that the bench is so lackluster and the defense is outrageously generationally bad. It's insane. The Timberwolves, the offense is kind of, it can go stale at times very much. We've seen that throughout the season. But if they're hitting shots like Jaden McDaniels and other players on the team, and Cat Williams, if he could be healthy for this series, this could get real nasty for the Suns. They could easily get swept, or easily get up out of here in five, and KD go ass be for another team. But obviously, that's if the Suns just fold up in the shell and just fold up like armadillo. And does not show up this series. But I think D-Book and Kevin Durant will show up this series. And who's going to be Anthony Edwards' winner, man? It's going to be Cat? If he's healthy, is it going to be Jaden Daniels? It's not the football. Or it's going to be Jaden McDaniels? Never know. So, let's see about that. Vince, me, if I had to make a good prediction on this one, Suns have more playoff experience than the Timberwolves. I say Timberwolves and seven. Just for the lack of playoff experience they have. They played last year. I think they might have played the year before. But I know they played last year against the Nuggets in the first round. But Vince, me, I'll go Timberwolves in that series. Now, this is also my favorite series because it's my team. And also the series that everyone's been waiting for. This is probably the most anticipated series out of the whole playoffs. Obviously, I'm talking about the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Clippers. And we're going to take a minute to really break down on both sides how big this series really is and how much it could really swing both ways. Because it's such a... Now, this is even more of an evenly matched up series than the Timberwolves and Phoenix Suns one, in my opinion. Because, okay, on one end, you have the Clippers. They have, obviously, they have Kawhi, Harden, Paul George, Zubac, Norman Powell. Don't sleep on Norman. Norman Powell gets real nasty. He's a very, very good role player for them. And Westbrook being a spark off the bench. And you have the Dallas Mavericks, who have Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, P.J. Washington, Derrick Jones Jr., and Daniel Gafford as a starter five with players like Tim Hardaway Jr., Dante Exum, and Josh Green being a spark off the bench. And Derek Lively being a backup five. And it's going to be very tough to really say that one team's going to have more than the other. Because now, first things first, is Kawhi going to be healthy game one? They say he's questionable. I think he's going to play. But he's obviously going to be restricted a little bit with his knee. And with a dude who's been having knee problems since his Spurs days, his last days with the Spurs, that was 8-some years ago, that's very concerning. And when he's only getting older, so he's only getting worse. And I really pray that he doesn't get hurt during the series, because I want it to be evenly matched series and just for itself. I don't want to get hurt at all. But, okay, to really break down the X factors for this series, first of all, it would be, for the Clippers, it would be James Harden. People are going to say, oh, it should be Westbrook. No, it should be Harden. The main thing is Harden. Okay. We know how playoff Harden gets. 0 for 10, 1 for 10, 2 for 12, putting up tour dates. We know this. He got games. The Harden, whenever he first got traded to the Clippers, December, in that whole month of December, Harden was playing aggressive. He was playing like he was in Philadelphia during the regular season. And he was playing really good over there. He was putting pressure on the paint, really facilitating, actually being aggressive to score. Not just being aggressive with the drive and kick, driving, dump, driving, screen and pop, or the spam screens to try to get the switch that he wants. And then eventually, did that down to the big man, layup, easy too. Just like that. Main thing about Harden, is Harden going to be aggressive enough to score in this series? Is he going to want to be aggressive? That's the main thing. If Harden's going to be aggressive to score in this series and not just facilitate like he's been doing for the past 30, 40 games after December, we'll see about that, because it'd be very tough. Because if he's being aggressive to score, because you already got Kawhi, we know about playoff Kawhi. He's going to give you crazy numbers. Paul George, he more off the ball player. In my opinion, I think the top two scorers for the Clippers is going to be Kawhi and Harden. I think Harden's going to be very, very, very aggressive this series. Now we know how Pandemic P goes. But all jokes aside, I think Paul George is going to have a very good series. But I think the X factor for the Clippers is easily going to be James Harden, to see how aggressive he's going to be. And if him and Westbrook can be the spark that they really need to really swinging in a way in these critical games, especially towards the end of them. And going on to the Mavericks side, okay, you got the best duo in the game, Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, and you have who else after that? Who else gonna be the third option? It's gonna be PJ Washington hitting. Is PJ Washington gonna be hitting threes in the series? Is Dante Exum gonna have his inferno and start draining threes this series, or start going off the dribble and actually creating his own shot? We don't know. Or Jaden Hardy, because somehow the young point guard they have, is he gonna be missed to be that third option who could make the shots off the dribble, or is it gonna be the veteran that they have been having the past couple of years, Tim Hardaway Jr., who's been very known for being probably the most streakiest shooter in the league right now, and is easily going through the biggest shooting slump I've ever seen in my life for the past 30 games. But we'll see how that goes, because with the Mavericks, get this, Luka. Okay, this is gonna be a hot take. Luka Doncic, of course, he have a small sample size for his playoff stature, for how good he's been playing in the playoffs. Now, I know people are going to say, oh, probably the best playoff performer of all time is Bron, Jordan, Kobe, plus even Kawhi. Kawhi's up there, in my opinion. Kawhi, stuff like that. Now, just give Luka more playoff series of this stature, or just playoff series in general. Luka is already a top five playoff performer of all time. I'm not even going to give y'all the stats, because I could go on for the stats for at least a cool 10 to 20 minutes. And I want y'all to look up yourself, to look up the points per game for his playoff stats compared to Jordan, Bond, and Arden. Just go look that. You're going to say, well, Jordan played 70-some games. Okay, then go look up Jordan's first, let's see, first 15 playoff games compared to Lucas. And all that, let's if you want to get basic, we go to the advanced stats, we go to plus minus, we go to net rating, we go to all of that. I'll let y'all go do your own research and then come back and give me feedback and tell me why you think Luka is or is not a top five best player performer of all time. My opinion easily is. But back to the matter at hand, I'm getting off task. Luka and Kyrie, okay, it's going to be a very tough matchup for him. So, I think it's very tough for both sides because, okay, let's assume these were the matchups going to be. P.J. Washington's going to match up against Kawhi. I think it's the physical build. I think he could hold his own against Kawhi, but, of course, physical build is not all you need. You also need a lot of IQ and stuff like that to play Kawhi, but Kawhi's going to get his no matter what. If you play perfect defense, he's going to hit those difficult mid-range shots and post-up shots and three. So he's going to be a three-level score the whole series. So, yeah, P.J. Washington on Kawhi, Kawhi on Luka. Kawhi is probably your best chance on Luka, but also you don't want to tire out your star player, so you could possibly put Terrence Mann on Luka, and that's way too small. Or you could possibly, or is that somebody you see PJ Tucker is? Even though he might be a liability on offense, it has to be able to hit those corner shots like he's been doing for years for the Rockets and other teams. Do you see minutes for him? So you don't tire out your star Kawhi Leonard for the fourth quarter, or do you somehow move Paul George? Paul George, he's going to be getting hefty minutes, but he's not going to be the number one scorer like for the Clippers, because that's obviously going to be Kawhi Leonard. He's going to be playing Luka. But I think it's going to be P.J. Washington on Kawhi, David Jones on Paul George, Kawhi on Luka. I think Paul George is going to get a lot of minutes on Kyrie Irving. Now, people are going to say, no, it shouldn't be him. It should be Terrence Mann. I think Terrence Mann might be a little bit of a... He could possibly be a better matchup to guard Kyrie because of the speed. Because Paul George, he's getting older. He lost his... I won't say lost his foot speed. But his foot speed is not as fast as it was when he first got to L.A. with his Thunder and Pacer days. Obviously not as fast. And Kyrie is looking... It's just athletic as ever. It's probably the most athletic version we've seen of Kyrie Irving. He's getting older. He's getting more athletic. So, and just his stop, how fast he stops and the quick moves that he makes and goes from, okay, you go from 100 to 0, then 0 to 85, then 85 to 75. Just the quick moves he makes, you can't replicate that. You can't teach that. You can't teach that and stuff like that. That's what makes Kyrie such a tough wild card to guard. And the shots he's hitting at such a high volume, most of his shots are tough. Most of the layups are very tough because people might throw the door swarming him, and he's still hitting these shots at a high clip. He's almost shooting 50-49. He's only 0.3% off from having a 50-49 because his field goal percentage is 49.7. So it's insane to think that... That the people are going to downplay what Kyrie's doing because how ridiculous Luka's playing right now. Think about this. I know I'm getting off tag because I'm gonna talk about Luka should be an MVP. Okay, so when Luka has every single possible stat better than Jokic, besides rebounds, understand Jokic is center, Luka's a point guard, but Luka's number one in rebounds for guards. He's averaging 34. Averaging 10 assists, that's more than Jokic, and he's averaging 9 boards. With better field goal percentage, well, my bad. The Jokic has better field goal percentage, but let's take the amount of shots Doncic takes and the difficult shots he does. But, and people gonna say, well, he doesn't have the record as Jokic. Well, Jokic first MVP, he was a 6th seed. He wasn't even a 50 win team. My Doncic is a 5th seed. he's a 51 team, and they just went 18-3 the past 21 games, and Doncic was averaging over 35, 10-10 in that stretch. But people don't want to talk about that. Okay, also, he's averaging 83% in the paint points. He's averaging 83% in the paint. That's number one in the league. Compared to Rudy Gobert, every center that takes just straight paint points, paint shots, Luka's number one. Think about that. Just let that sink in. Out of all the shots, Luka, out of all the tough shots, he's number one. That's all I'm going to say for Luka being MVP. I could make a whole another podcast about that, but I ain't going to do that to y'all. That would be a 40-minute yapping session, honestly. But, okay, so back on the task at hand. I think the main X factor for the Mavericks would be to have to be Tim Hardaway Jr., and for the Clippers, it'd have to be James Harden. Those two. If Tim Hardaway Jr., if he's coming out guns blazing, somehow just flips the switch just like that, I think the Mavs gonna be forced to be reckless, because that means they're gonna have to, if they can have a consistent third option. PJ Washington, if he's in the threes, he's a third option. Obviously, he's very good at running flows, in my opinion too. And Tim Hardaway Jr., if Tim Hardaway Jr. is just not being a liability, he's not chucking. If he's being a consistent third option, putting up 10-50 points a game, that'd be cool for them. Don't even start on Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively. Oh my gosh. They have been such a big help for the Mavericks over this season. And these past 15 games alone, Daniel Gafford, he's looking like 2011, 2012 Tyson Chandler. The way he's just locking down that paint and catching these lobs. It's ridiculous, man. As a Mavericks fan myself, I'm getting flashbacks to 2011. With the way Daniel Gafford's playing, it's like we finally have that one man. We finally have that one player who's going to protect that paint 24/7, 365. It's going to get those boards for us and do the standard third. Okay. Finally, I have a prediction to make for this series. I'll have to pick Mavs in 7. I think Luka finally gets his revenge from 2020 to 2021 season with the Clippers beating him in 6 and beating him in 7 in 2021. I think that Luka finally gets his get back. And I think it might put a screen, but again, this is probably the most evenly matched up series I've seen in years. The Clippers could easily swing it their way, and the Mavs could easily swing it their way. But I think in all, it will come down who makes the big plays at crunch time. Who makes the least amount of mistakes? Because get this, the Clippers are the number one percentage catch and shoot team in the league, and the Mavericks have, if I'm not mistaken, they turn the ball less than anyone in the league. They average less than 10 turnovers in the league. Also, I'm going to give you another stat. Now, this is to say how good the Mavericks been playing and how, I say, mediocre to poorly the Clippers been playing ever since, let's say, the past 20 games, past 25 games. It's after the trade deadline. Okay? So, the Mavericks, their defensive rating was, before was, I say, it was around the middle of the pack to the bottom of the pack before the trade deadline, before these past 20 games. Now, over the past 20 games, they've been top 10 in defensive rating. The offensive rating has been number 4 in the league, 118. And the net rating is 6.6, which is as of the 3rd in the league. So, in the Clippers, I know they've been going through a lot. Westbrook just getting back healthy. Kawhi just getting back healthy. That has a lot to do with it. Harden's not short on a lot like he was when they first traded for him. But, again, the Clippers have such a star-studded team and such a deep team. They can change just like that because they have so much firepower behind Kawhi. So, we'll see how it goes, man. In my personal opinion, I think the Mavs will finally get back in 7. It's going to be a very hard-fought series. But again, it would not surprise me at all if the Clippers didn't win in the series. But it would not surprise me at all if the Mavs also win. Because it's a very, 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 very evenly matched series. And that's an understatement, man. Because I think this has the chance to be a classic, honestly. Like, this is the Western Conference Finals. Because I think whoever makes Whoever wins this series right here is going to the Western Conference Finals, in my opinion. Whoever, I think the Clippers and the Mavericks, whoever wins the series can knock off the Nuggets. I think they can. That's me personally. But, you know, I don't know nothing according to other people. But, all right, y'all. So, that's it for my podcast for today. I know it wasn't super long. It was kind of some of the other, the Eastern Conference series, I kind of didn't hit all the notes like I wanted to. But, hey, we're improving it by podcast, taking a step by step, and we're going together. And I would like to appreciate you for listening. This is the end of my podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Appreciate love for years. I've been making podcasts since I was, 12 years old, 2018. I was 2024. And we still going, man. We're still going. Love y'all. Love every single last one of y'all. Appreciate it. It's the True Glow Sports Show. I'm your host, Chris Glenn. I'm out.